This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network. Got the NBA draft coming up in a little bit. Now, is it a Friday? Feels like it's about to be a Friday, which would make me excited because then I'd be gone till August, not till December. However, it is just a Wednesday. Now, here's what we've got to do. We've got to give our next guest some credit. Dustin Sweetelson, of course, the big guy, just picked up his waters from Shorty behind the bar there at Bar Canada. We've got to give our next guest some credit. His name's Mike Somich. He's a VSiN host, The Handle, noon to 3 Eastern time, Saturday and Sunday. A better at SomoBomb18 on Twitter. But my man, he is, well, we call him MC Mike now because he's going to be emceeing a tournament coming up on Friday. And because he's not going to be here, Progressive Guestline brings you Mike Somich. Because he's not going to be here on Friday, he hit us up and said, I'll give you guys content today. That's not a good job. That's a tremendous job by you, Somo.
I appreciate it. And that's even after all the slander I got on last Friday. So even after all of that, here I am still ready to help you guys out. And Patrick, I'll be traveling on Friday. The event's on Sunday over at Hawthorne, but I'll be traveling on Friday to get up to Chicago. 2 days of horse racing tournaments. Anyone in the Chicagoland area, head out to the Crestwood OTB. Come say hi. Come play a $500 tournament. See if you can get into NHC in Las Vegas the following year. Be an absolute blast out there.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. And Dustin, last week, which you're known to do when you start puffing out your chest, you walked us into a murder. I mean, there was blood everywhere when I was trying to take on Somich with you, and he just demolished us. But that's you. That's the big guy in a nutshell. You crushed us last week.
Well, here's what I'd say. Look, we questioned his friendship because, I mean, he did disappear for a while from the family plays and whatnot. Then I have to give him credit because it's not just today. Remember, he stepped up on Monday when we needed the family to get in order for Game 7. Popped on the show real quick with Aaron Halterman, part of the founding family here on the Sharp Money family. And he stepped up there. However, I think he just lost points and he doesn't even realize it. You're going to miss your usual Friday, our last Friday before vacation, not for the event, because you're traveling for an event on Sunday. Couldn't you just travel on Saturday?
Well, I've got to be there. I got to be there on Saturday to do The Handle. So I got to make sure I'm doing all the gig for the VSiN here. So I had doing the show live on Saturday so that we can be there, and get that show in, and then doing the Sunday show as well.
Patrick,
the big guy, you just grasp sometimes. Like, what, you don't think he had thought about travel when coming together? You thought you were going to catch him there? Well, what are you doing?
He could have gotten there on Thursday then to be ready for his Friday spot. He just proved to us.
He doesn't even get paid for this. He just does it because we're friends. Dude, you're walking down a weird alley right now.
I'm saying he just proved what my theory was last week. Matt Brown is a better friend to him right now than we are.
You can go ahead and text my wife and tell her I'll be gone another day because I need to make sure I'm on for an hour on Sharp Money on a Friday.
and we should probably go there. So obviously the family, a big W for all of us with the Panthers, 2-1 win on Monday night. It was awesome. It was quite a game. However, you found yourself in a precarious situation. Can you explain to the audience what happened with you traveling back from Vegas?
Yeah, so we planned that we would be back. We'd be home right around puck drops. I'd be able to catch the whole game with the daughter, had the hockey stick ready, everything ready to go, get to the airport, board the plane, and we go through multiple mechanical malfunctions, including have fire trucks on the outside of the airplane, have a fireman come onto our airplane. We have to go back to the gate. Now the puck's about to drop. So I'm watching this game from the Las Vegas airport, standing outside the little bar right by gate B11 and watching the first period, texting you guys, going back and forth. Ended up watching the third period on the airplane. Let's just say I was not shy about cheering. And there was not a lot of people that were watching that game on that airplane. So there were a couple people wondering what was going on there in the last final 5 minutes as I was gasping and screaming and excitedly watching this Florida Panthers team be able to hold on. Very tumultuous way to watch Game 7. But it was also nice to have my focus on that Game 7 and not the fact that our airplane was surrounded by fire trucks.
What time did you get home?
I got home around 9:45.
So you could have taken the 9 o'clock flight like originally planned.
I could have just taken the 9 o'clock flight and gotten home like 35, 40 minutes later.
Look,
but what are you going to do?
I mean this And this is for the audience, because they're not like Dustin and I. They're normal people married with children. So I ask you this question, and the only reason I ask you this question, and I would never do this to a friend unless he had a healthy relationship with his wife, which you do. So that allows me to ask, was your wife annoyed with you? I mean, you couldn't do anything about the plane, but you were getting hammered for like three straight days in Vegas as a 40-year-old man while she's sitting at home with the kid. Was your wife in a bad mood when you got home?
No, she wasn't. She appreciated that I moved the flight forward. I made sure to send her pictures of the fire trucks outside the plane so I could prove that it was actually happening, right? You got to make sure you get out in front of that. They were both asleep by the time I got home. All good. Got up early the next morning, spent time with the daughter, took her to camp, picked her up from camp, made dinner last night. So put in the effort after the weekend.
Okay, well, also credit to you here, because you weren't feeling great on Monday. You kept drinking Monday night, which means
shots.
You're pushing the hangover down the road a little bit more, kicking the can. How are we feeling on Wednesday? Because at our age, it can be dicey.
Wednesday, we are doing good. I got to say, I got up, got the daughter to camp at 8:30 in the morning. I may or may not have come back and taken a nap as soon as I got back home for a couple hours to recharge a little bit on a Tuesday. But now Wednesday, we are good. We are ready to roll. Probably not going to drink a lot today, tomorrow, maybe even Friday, but we are good to go now.
Okay, good. I mean, we don't call that a nap. We literally call that just going back to sleep. The NBA draft, we've got your plays, but let's just talk overview. Dustin and I have been discussing, like, he got Mikal Bridges as a Knicks fan. They gave up a ton, so that's one trade. There were other rumors, you know, Kevin Durant, what's going to happen with Paul George? Like, just an overview on the NBA and the draft heading into the draft this evening.
Why, I'm surprised more people aren't talking about the Nets-Rockets trade. I realize, obviously, getting Bridges is a huge get for the Knicks. Congrats, Dustin. You got Nova North up there going on. But the fact that the Nets were able to trade back for their own first round picks, I think, is really interesting, considering that Houston took Phoenix's, right? So the Nets are now can officially tank. They don't have to worry about tanking and not having their picks. But the fact that you've got Houston saying, okay, well, we'll get Phoenix's. Well, who's on Phoenix that's rumored to be traded? Kevin Durant. Like, it makes sense that they are trying to set something up here to give Phoenix their picks back and then take Kevin Durant. So Phoenix is in a similar situation. To me, that part was the really interesting part, that Houston, now knowing that the Nets are going to tank, were willing to give up those Nets picks specifically for Phoenix's. As far as trades today, I think Ingram's probably on the move at some point. We'll see what happens there and who it is. There's been rumors swirling about Atlanta at one trading back with San Antonio at four. We haven't seen anything come about there. We haven't seen anything come from the Trae Young business, the Murray business in Atlanta, with what's going on with those two. I think it's either going to be just a wildly interesting night where we just see trades left, right, and center, or it's going to be really disappointing, because these teams are going to be forced to make the picks of players that, in a lot of cases, I'm not sure they're all that excited about. And you look at the number one pick right there with Atlanta. If they sit in that position, I mean, Snyder has basically said he wants Klingon. That's his guy. He wants them to go get him. Yet you've got the French guy going, minus 500 right now? Rishashir, yeah, sorry. His name is just terrible.
His name is really, I don't even know if I just said it correctly, but he's still minus 500.
But he's sitting there at minus 500 and Klingon's plus 500. To me, it feels like if Zachary Richardson does go first, it's because someone comes up and gets him versus Atlanta necessarily wants to take him, especially if you're keeping Murray and Young in that backcourt. So I think it's a really interesting couple hours leading up to the draft, because I thought we'd be coming on here at 2 o'clock and have two or three other trades that had started to fall from a domino perspective. And we don't have anything but absolutely crickets today.
Dustin, are you seeing anything?
I'm seeing nothing. I think because there are so many current players on the move, and that's impacting how this thing's going to go down tonight. I think that's the issue we're running into here. The thing about Klingon, I bet him, I want to say 2 weeks ago, Mike, I was so happy. I got plus 410 or 4-1 after I missed the big Steam move. Well, then it sent Steam back the other way, and you can actually get a better number today, because it doesn't feel, I don't know what's going to happen with him.
Well, there's a couple other ways to aggressively play it, too. If you don't have a Klingon bet on right now, I wouldn't bet him at the number one pick. You can go and you can get Zachary Richier at 12-1 as the fourth pick. You could go get top three in exact order, Klingon, Saar, and Reed, and play. That's 12-1 as well. So there's a couple other interesting ways to go about this versus just taking that number one pick? Because if it feels like there are no trades, this feels like it's going to be Klingon, Saar, Reed Shepard, and then you're going to see Zach Dagan. If that seems like your top four without any trades, it feels like we're going to get some trades and that's going to get blown up a little bit. But I mean, we haven't seen anything yet, which is still just wild to me. I was expecting moves.
So you said, are you Rissachet, Saar, Reed Shepard, right? That's the order you just said.
If they don't, if they don't, if there's not a trade, I think it's going to go Klingon, Saar, Reed Shepard, and that's 12-1 right now for exact top three.
I was going to say the one I said is -150 as the favorite. Yours is interesting at 12-1 because it does feel realistic.
Well, by the way, Saar is like -1,000 to go to, like, it's a done deal. Yeah. He's going to Washington, correct?
It is. And it seems like if Houston doesn't trade out of the three pick, it's Shepard at three, right? So two and three seem pretty locked in as soon as, assuming you're not going to get a trade in either of those spots. If that's the case, you're getting Klingon going one at 12-1 instead of 5-1.
I like that you call him Klingon, like one of those, like from Star Wars.
Star Trek.
Isn't that Star Wars?
Star Trek.
He's a Klingon.
Star Trek, not Star Wars. They're very different.
Are they?
They're not even close to the same thing.
Well, one of them had a Klingon.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
Star Trek. That's exactly. A language.
Nailed it. Klingon. So I didn't know that the head coach is slipping my mind. I didn't know the Hawks head coach essentially came out and said he wants Klingon.
Snyder.
Yes. Snyder said he fits it perfectly, loves the idea that he can run to the rim, likes him as a defender or a rim protector as well, and that that's who he would take.
More with our buddy. He's tanned. He's in good graces with the family. He even cooked dinner last night. Mike Somich joins us continuing next here, Sharp Money.
Is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, the guide's coming out tomorrow. NFL guide Somich got involved. The big guy got involved. Are you going to get it? All you have to do is become a VSIN Pro, and you can do it right now for $199, get a month for free. But you have to use the promo code SHARP. Remember, you don't just get the guides, you get everything. The picks, the splits, the articles, VSIN.com/subscribe. Dustin Swedelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, this is Sharp Money, DraftKings VSIN, and our buddy Mike Somich, VSIN hosts. Better, of course, he's an MC now. He's going to be taking on. Are you nervous about Sunday when you're hosting the event? Progressive Guest Line brings you Mike Somich. Maybe you can let the audience know again what you're hosting.
No, it'll be three of us that are going to be on air there. Emily Gullickson, Ed DeRosa, and I are going to be all hosting it. It's a tournament on Sunday afternoon, starting around probably 2:30, 3 o'clock Eastern. It'll be on Hawthorne's YouTube channel as well as Racing Dude's YouTube channel if you want to go check it out. It's a $2,500 invite-only tournament. There's going to be 60 people playing to be invited. You had to be one of the better tournament players in the U.S. Or in the world, really. I guess there's a couple guys from Canada as well that are going to be down there. So it'll be a bunch of different people who are successful tournament players, who played tournaments in the past, have won. Last year's winner, Eddie Olchuk, turned $2,500 into $52,000 to be able to win the tournament. Family of Aaron Halterman will be there, so he'll be joining me on Sunday as well. It's going to be an absolute blast. I really like the tournament structure. When you go through these, you kind of learn how to game the system when you're looking at tournaments, and this structure is very unique. I haven't played one like this before, so excited to take it on Sunday. Essentially, you have to save at least $500 of your bankroll for the final race. So all 60 people will have at least $500 bet on the last race. From a event perspective, it makes it really interesting because all 60 people are going to have some skin in the game there going into the last race. And then you can only bet $250 on 8 races prior to that at some point during the day. 4 of those mandatory races chosen for you and 4 of them optional. So a lot of it is how much do you want to try and build up your bankroll for that last race? What do you think the last race is going? How do you think the last race is going to play out to determine how much the winning bankroll will be and then kind of working backward from there? So really unique, interesting tournament format. Going to be a blast to do it. Make sure you check it out. You can see it either on Hawthorne's YouTube channel or Racing Dude's YouTube channel on Sunday. There's going to be interviews with all the different players that are playing the tournament as they go through. And I will be hosting and playing the tournament at the same time. So you get my live thoughts on why I'm doing what I am doing to try and be able to win the tournament.
Oh, I like that angle. That's cool to get inside the mind. Where does the horse racing calendar sit right now? We just had the Ohio Derby. I feel like you and Aaron have done a good job getting people involved. Where are we with the sport of horse racing right now on the calendar?
We are starting to ramp up again, Patrick. So we've got a big race, the Clark at Churchill this weekend. We've got a big card at Woodbine this weekend as well. But we are starting to get closer and closer to the Stars and Stripes series, which comes at you usually from Belmont Park, be at Aqueduct this year because Belmont's under renovation. And that is the last big time event before 2 weeks later, both Del Mar and Saratoga open. And then you start getting into the massive summer races that all set up the winning, that are all winning you're in. So if you win those races, you move on to the Breeders' Cup and kind of set us up for the Breeders' Cup. So there's really kind of two seasons in horse racing. There's the prep season that builds to the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown. And then there's this summer season that builds toward the Breeders' Cup. I would say the summer season really kicks off in full here in about a week, week and a half when we get around to July 4th, July 5th week. Again.
Do you have somebody that you consider? I know, like Mike White. Do you have a horse, specific horse better that you consider a mentor or just the GOAT? Is there a name that maybe people would recognize as a horse better?
If you are a horse better, I think you'd recognize some of the names. I mean, there's a guy named Tony Joe, who I think is absolutely phenomenal. He was in the tournament scene a long time ago. He was an investment banker and wrote his own software to handicapped horses. And now he 100 full time just plays horses. So he's someone I thought was just a phenomenal person from a horse betting, racing betting perspective and really taking it to the next level from an information perspective. Honestly, my mentor in handicapping was my father. My father and my grandfather were the two that taught me what I know and how I got into it. And that's really how a lot of people, I feel like, get into horse racing, is that they go out there and they are around friends or family who are really passionate about it. And then they decide what level to take it to. But once you go through that point, once you get into the tournament scene, you meet a ton of people. And, you know, Ken Jordan, Justin Dew, you know, Ronald Tang, the Hoffmans. Like, there's a bunch of people that I've played tournaments with that you learn things from and then apply back to your own game to be able to make you better at it.
Good answer. Good stuff. And we'll be following along this weekend. Let's transition a little bit. Unless the two of you had anything else to say right now on the NBA draft, either of you have an anecdote you want to throw in? If not, we'll move on.
I'm just rooting for chaos. That's it. I'm just rooting for a ton of trades, a lot of action, and some stars being on the move. That's it.
Mike?
I hope Durant goes. Really hope I hope the Rockets move number 3 and the Suns picks back to Phoenix for Durant, and that's what causes chaos in this draft.
Can we start here for 1 second? Okay. Over the last like 7 to 10 days, I've been monitoring just NBA rumors because we're approaching free agency just to get feelers out. I know it's not Family Future Friday, and I know we got to wait a long time, but I want to try and sell you guys on this because now the Rockets are in on Durant or Booker, apparently. I saw them in the past, Butler linked to them. I saw Brandon Ingram linked to them. I think when we look at what the Rockets did defensively a year ago, can we have a discussion about potentially wanting to get in early on them before they make a big move? Because it does feel like they're on the verge of doing something big.
Well, I just say this quickly, Mike, and let you follow up. They just have so many disjointed pieces. So to but they have so much talent. They just have an amalgamation of just names that you recognize and thrown together, but they don't play well together. So I do believe, based on your question and what Mike said, potentially with Rant, I think that's the team to watch now. I think they're going to pull something to kind of bring that team to more of a cohesive unit. Go ahead, Mike.
I wish there was something besides win the NBA title you could bet on right now. I wish you could take bet on the West, win their division, something like that.
I have division at DraftKings.
What's the number?
Let's see. The Rockets are 11-1 to win the Southwest.
See that? I would be more interested in taking them at 11-1 to win the Southwest than winning the NBA title at 100-1. Because I think it's so much more likely they're able to be a very good regular season team and then have some struggles in the playoffs first time there. And the moves they make with that younger roster also are more likely to play throughout the regular season too. So if I was going to take a shot with them, I think 11-1 to win the divisions where I would go versus the winning the title.
So let me sell you guys on a little bit further. The team played no defense 2 years ago. They had Van Vliet. They had Dylan Brooks, two dogs who defend, and one of them, Van Vliet, can do it on both ends of the floor. They're probably going to trade Şengün just because it makes sense. He's big. They could probably, you know, and whoever they're going to get, if it's a big player, they're going to have to give up Sengun. Jalen Green came on last year. They have scoring. I just, Jayshon Tate, like, there is a depth to this roster that if you add a star with the way they play defense, I might be jumping to conclusions here, but it does feel, look at Oklahoma City and Minnesota and the steps they took. How did they do that? They took steps on the defensive end of the floor, played with more intensity, and ended up where they were in the playoffs.
I don't think it's a terrible look, Dustin. I think Houston has a very good chance of being good next year. So, I like I said, I don't hate the division at all, 11-1. Can I bring up one other thing I think is going to be really interesting after this draft closes out? I think the rookie of the year market this year in the NBA is going to be very, very interesting. Like, right out of the gate, I mean, I am interested in looking at where Dalton Connect lands and what number he's going to get. You've talked about him being older, being 24. He is someone who could put up some serious numbers in the NBA. And a kind of sleeper guy who I'm interested in, depending on where he lands, Rob Dillingham from Kentucky, who can absolutely fill it up. If he lands in a spot where he gets the green light and consistently can shoot, I think he can put up some big numbers as a rookie this year. And then because you don't have any of these Victor Wembanyamas, because you have a pretty blah set of talent here, I think it's going to set up well for that rookie of year market next year of being able to try and go in and get a big price on someone who might be under the radar.
It's going to be a very fertile market. And Dustin, to your point about the Rockets, I hope if this Kevin Durant thing is real, my assumption is they're going to, because Jalen Green's super talented, but I don't think he's a winning player.
Sure.
If he I hope they move on from him. It's fascinating. I think something huge is going to happen tonight. So I agree with both of you. By the way, the Heat extended Adebayo on $166 million. Do either of you know what's going on with this Texas baseball coach Schlossnagel? Why is there so much being said? What did he do?
So Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. What I found is that he was blatantly just outwardly asked, are you going to Texas? He basically said, no, of course I'm not going to Texas. And then he just took the Texas job.
Literally the next day. Yeah, right after they lost the College World Series, he said something about, you know, I was hired to be the Texas A&M coach. I'm the Texas A&M coach. I'm not going anywhere. The whole spiel. And then immediately the next day goes to arch rival Texas.
Oh, yeah. It looks like you berated a reporter for asking the question. What a freaking donk. Schlossnagel.
I just saw Del Conte, their AD, he tweeted out a picture because I guess when he made the offer, he had to go wait it out, and he waited like outside of a cemetery or something. It was really weird.
All right. Makes sense. We're going to come back with some baseball today. Had a lot of day baseball, but Samich has got three ready to go, and then we'll continue. I want to ask him about the Stanley Cup, too. We haven't even had his reaction. We're coming back. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, VSIN.com, best bets, betting splits. Samich is always writing articles, which you can find over there as well. Odds by your state betting tools and the betting guides. The betting guide in particular, remember, coming out tomorrow, the NFL betting guide. And it's a big day on the program tomorrow. So check it out, VSIN.com. We got you back, Sharp Money. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick. You know what? Mike Samich joining us on a Wednesday. We appreciate that. I probably lay a run and a half, and I know you guys do it much more than I, five times over a baseball season. I just hate doing it. Ever since I started, my mentor said, don't lay a run and a half. He had some numbers at the time. They've all adjusted. I'm not going to go there. I'm just against it. However, I got one for you boys. I'm thinking about laying the run and a half tonight in Baltimore. Carrasco stinks. And Rodriguez, you're going to lay about $110, maybe $112 on laying a run and a half with the Orioles. But come on, baseball boys. What do you think? Samich, we'll start with you.
Let me look at the other prices you can get in the game. So I hate laying a run and a half with the home team. That's just a thing for me, just because I never want to do it because of the fact that you lose those late at-bats. First five innings, let's see, Baltimore minus a half run, minus 160. That's not great. Yeah. I mean, let's check our favorite new bet here. Game scores. Let's see what the bottom bet in the bottom of the ninth. I would go bat in the bottom of the ninth. No, minus 165. That's okay. Where I would take the 60-cent juice off that and play it that way. Or Perfect. You could lock in the way I'm playing the game, Patrick.
I know. I was walking right into it. I know you got to play on this one. Let's go.
Give me Orioles. First team to score -125. Carrasco's given up one in the bottom half of the first, right? So we just got to get through that first half of the first with a zero and Rodriguez on the mound. This is just a matchup where you're getting a much better number because the team you're betting is at home. So you're always going to be betting second in each inning. That makes it harder to score the first run because if that road team is able to score in the top half, you don't get the bat in the bottom half, you lose your bet. But this is one of those situations where if you're trying to find ways to creatively bet a lower juiced amount versus like the -225 for the Orioles here, to me, betting Baltimore to score the first run -125, a good way to look at that. You could also bet Baltimore to score in the first inning as well. But I like the first run here because I do think Rodriguez has a chance to shut this Cleveland offense down for multiple innings as well, giving Baltimore more chances to get that first run.
Creative. I like that. O's first run scored -125. Big guy, your take on all of it.
Oh, the Orioles are going to mash Carrasco. Just going to absolutely decimate him. He just pitches to too much contact. Like, he used to be a strikeout guy a few years ago. He's just not that guy anymore. He's been through a lot, but they're trotting him out there every fifth day, and he's really, I mean, he's barely a rotation piece on a team that is expected to go to the playoffs. Orioles kill right-handed pitching. They're awesome against lefties, too. It's just a great, deep offense. There's no easy outs for Carrasco to work with here. I like the game over. I just expect there to be a lot of runs, and it wouldn't shock me if the Baltimore Orioles cover like 7 or 8 of those 8.5 runs.
Well, let me ask you, are they sitting what? Can one of you look for me? Orioles team total 4.5, like -150, somewhere in that range? Is that what it is? I hate betting home teams on the team total, to Mike's point.
4.5 -140.
Yeah, team, see, I knew it was going to be heavily juiced.
First five, you can get 2.5 -140. I would take that over full game. First three, you can get 1.5 -115 on the over.
Okay. Really? I like the way we talk this through. So I would first run scored. Big guy, you went over.
For the game.
I'll tell you where it is.
And most of that handicap is Baltimore.
Now.
Yeah.
All right.
Most of that handicap is Baltimore.
Okay. Fair enough. Next one up. Mike Somich, Red Sox first five over 2.5 -120.
Yeah, we're looking for some runs. You got Rodriguez on the mound for the Blue Jays here. He's got a 5.94 ERA, a 1.9 plus whip. So not very good at all. It's 81, sunny, and the ball will be flying in Boston today. So like the Red Sox offense taking on a Blue Jays pitcher, I think they're going to beat up pretty easily here. So we're going first five team total over 2.5 -120 here with the Red Sox.
All right, big guy, you got to take on that one?
Well, I like that because I was thinking about laying the half run with Boston today. I laid off Cutter Crawford. I feel like I'm always wrong on him. He has moments where he's awesome, and then I don't have him, and then I do bet him, and he lets me down. The thing about Mike's bet that I love, it's fading Rodriguez. Rodriguez, his last three outings, has thrown 9 innings, and he's allowed 9 runs in those 9 innings. So he's getting mashed. He doesn't pitch a ton. He doesn't go deep into games. Don't look now, but the Boston Red Sox could be a postseason team.
Yeah, they're somehow frisky.
You know what they have to do when I've watched Boston? First off, Cutter Crawford's good. But secondly, when I've watched them, if they're running, they're awesome.
Yeah.
But if they're stagnant, they're terrible. Like, they just have to go. They've got some speed. They have... Just that is a team that could be next year very good.
It's not a horrible roster. It's really not a bad roster. There are a lot of really good winning pieces there. It's just they need like a couple things to tighten it up.
There are holes all over the place. Like, you looked at the roster during the preseason, you're like, this is not great. But now, once we've seen it play out a little bit here, you've seen different pieces of this Boston team be able to come together. Like Patrick mentioned, when they are on the move, when they're running, when they're putting pressure on defenses, they seem to be a good baseball team on that side. The pitching's been a little bit shaky, but now here we are sitting 43-37, almost halfway into the season. Like, it's a Boston team that's played a lot better. And if they can make a couple moves at the deadline and then figure it out in the summer, they could be very good next year.
Yeah, they've overachieved for sure. Your final baseball bet, we were talking about this one earlier. Big guy had Gavin Stone on one of his three ups, the youngster there with the Dodgers. Fetty's been good too. But you're going to lay the run and a half with the Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm going to take the buzzsaw here. Look, the Dodgers, I thought this one should be closer to minus 135 for the -1.5. They're minus 180 favorites right now. You can get the Dodgers minus 110 laying the run and a half in Chicago. A few teams that I will lay the 1.5 with, I try and avoid it when I can, but this is a spot where the Dodgers in this offense, I'm willing to lay the 1.5, especially against a bad bullpen from the White Sox. So even if Fetty can get through 5 or 6 innings here, I'm going to still get multiple innings with the bullpen. I'm laying the 1.5 on the road, so I will get to bat in the bottom of the, or the top of the ninth, even if we do have a lead. And this Dodgers offense is just phenomenal. So I'll take the Dodgers minus the 1.5, minus 110 today.
It's a good job by you. I actually saw him at one book, but like $1.58 on the money line earlier, the Dodgers. That's not a crazy price. Straight up.
No, that it is a crazy price. It's a crazy that they would be that short. That's what's crazy. By the way, a little appreciation for Shohei Ohtani. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him. First Dodgers player with an RBI in 9 straight games. He has 7 homers in his last 9 games.
He's pretty good.
Or not 7 homers last 9, 9 homers last 15. That's crazy.
He's freaking unbelievable. And so are the Dodgers. So they're in Chicago. Lay a run and a half, $1.05. Dude, I'm looking at a book right now that has the Dodgers $1.55. And I can
bet. It's wild.
Is that tomorrow's game? It's today? Like
today.
What is going on? I don't understand that line.
Shh. Be quiet. These things move quickly with influencers like us. Big Guy, do you have a three-teamer with your little pitching prop there?
I do, actually. So we're going to use Eric Fetty, who we just mentioned, right? We are going to use Cookie Carrasco. Let me pull up the – and I can't get the last leg up. Hang on.
Donk.
Fetty, Cookie Carrasco, and Sean Manaea. It's a very short slate, but I do think the Yankees get to Manaea. If the Mets win that game, I don't think he's the pitcher of record. There's a chance he may not go 5 innings and qualify. And that's my point with this bet. There's just so much that has to go right for these guys to record a win and be the pitcher of record. They have to pitch 5 innings. They have to leave the game with the lead, and the bullpen has to hold the lead.
Did you guys were going back and forth on text, and I kind of zoned out. Samich, do you like his three-teamers with the no wins?
I think it's interesting. I was trying to find other ways to bet it and get a better number on it. But he is right. The protection of the no win is a big part of it. Like, even if you're playing the unders, outs, things like that, and trying to get the price jacked up to 4-1, 5-1 in some of these parlays, it's that the protection, the fact that they have to be leading and then they have to hold on to that lead for the entire rest of the game is massive, because every one of these pitchers that Dustin's targeting, it's unlikely they leave the game with their team up 4 or 5 runs. If they do leave the game, they are most likely up 1 run, maybe 2 runs, right? And then you have the better offense on the other side that still has the opportunity to come back and make that a pitcher that doesn't get a win or a loss in that spot. So I think it's interesting, especially if you keep getting those low plus money ones, plus 105, plus 115, whatever it is, for 3 pitchers who are very unlikely to record a win.
Big. That's a big day for me. It's not a complete cosign. It's like a 75% cosign from Samich, but I take that as a win.
It was half a well, actually. It wasn't a full one.
I can't well actually it. I can't come up with a better way to bet it, so it's hard to well actually. That's the thing. If you like the bet, it's the best way to do it, so that's a good thing.
Outs recorded is tough just because it's always right at a number where you're like, I think that's right about where he's going to be.
We haven't talked to our buddy, part of the family, Mike Samich, since our Florida Panthers. There's Mount Rushmore. Won the Stanley Cup. We'll come back and get his reaction next here, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, release day tomorrow, Thursday. It's going to be awesome. Our all-new VSIN NFL betting guide drops tomorrow. It's packed with everything you need to dominate this NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles on every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, proprietary betting trends that you're not going to find anywhere else. But that's not all. Our experts have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. So whether you're a season bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. And to celebrate the release of the guide, VSiN is going all out with special coverage throughout the day. Tune in all day tomorrow for expert analysis, insider tips, and all the NFL insight you need to start the season strong. Remember, the only way to get our all-new NFL betting guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. So visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up today. If you use the promo code SHARP, you get a discount. Sharp money. There's a lot to say, but it's going to be a big day tomorrow, of course, with the guide coming out. So make sure you check it out. We've got special programming scheduled for you as well. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Mike Somich on a Wednesday. It's a good job by him getting the content in before he goes off for his horse racing tournament and hosting. And we'll get that information before we say goodbye. Now, I want to ask you two a question. Have you two purposefully been not giving me credit for just randomly 2 days ago quitting nicotine and being in an awesome mood and not edgy today? Has it been purposeful on your parts?
Hold on, you think you've been in an awesome mood?
Yeah.
You might want to rewind the show.
Why? Because I said Tim Murray and JVT are donks for having you on regularly. What did I say?
You were like, oh, have Dustin on for a guest. Oh, man, must be digging
deep. See, you're still thinking about that? That happened 3 hours ago.
It wasn't
You're unbelievable.
It wasn't nice. If we're going to say something is nice or mean, it was definitely on the nice side of things. No.
Okay.
No.
You've been hanging on to it. Somich, have you been purposely not giving me credit for quitting nicotine?
Well, to be fair, you've gotten up twice in the four breaks I've seen you. So I'm not really sure what you're doing when you're leaving there. So I don't know if you're putting a Zin in, if you're going for a vape. I don't know what's happening over there, Patrick.
Well, the first part, definitely not, because I can't find any. So I gave myself a little too much credit. I quit because I had to.
Yeah. And now you're like, man, should have ordered cases of that months ago when you loved it. Because right now, by the way, you could be sitting on a nice pretty penny there selling that on the black market.
Yeah.
You could have also sat on the case when your chair wasn't working. So it would have been twofold.
Somich, cute. Very good. Now I have I have the best chair ever. I literally just had to keep ordering chairs until I put it together correctly because I'm an adult. Okay. Now, and officially, Dustin, I'm sorry. I was just taking a shot. I like to clown you because you just do extra work and don't get paid for it.
No, but
that's
now,
why I like to clown you.
But now I know why it happened. You're irritable because you miss.
No.
Yeah,
I would have done it even if I was packing his in. That's cute. That was cute. But no, I would have taken shots anyway.
Gave you an out.
You're the best. Okay, time for a little recap here, boys. Monday was exhilarating. Now, you were watching it, getting on a plane, getting off a plane, south to southwest, because they did hook you up. But the game itself, that's what a Game 7's about. You just can't compare any sport to it.
No, you can't. I love that you asked the question. Would you rather go to a Super Bowl or a Game 7? It's easily a Game 7, right? You have to want to go to that. You get an opportunity. First off, you're guaranteed to see the Stanley Cup, which is in and itself is a very difficult thing to do. You have to be in the right city at the right time with the right ending game tickets to be able to do that. You're guaranteed to see the Super Bowl trophy at any Super Bowl, but not every Stanley Cup game. And the intensity level is just so high. Plus, you have the opportunity for maybe Game 7 overtime, which is the greatest thing in all of sports is when you get that, let alone Game 7 overtime in the Stanley Cup Finals. But it was a great game to watch. Like I really enjoyed it. I love the fact we got that first goal from Florida. It scared the crap out of me how fast the Oilers responded to it. We talked about how important that first goal was consistently on Monday, even on Friday when we were setting up Game 6. Florida get it was a huge thing, but that response from Edmonton I thought was wonderful. Florida got that second goal, and that became really that next first goal of the game, right? And then we're able to hunker down. I didn't think that McDavid played that poorly in that game. I thought that, yes, he did not get on the score sheet, didn't get a point, didn't get a goal, but he was creating opportunities almost every single time on the ice, and he played all of that third period as well. That Oilers team was absolutely gassed by the end of that game.
They were. McDonough mentioned it. And he was right. They were so tired. I'll say this. I don't know if you two felt the same. I knew how important the first goal was, but this may sound odd. I thought the quick equalizer from the Oilers was a bigger boost than the Panthers scoring first, Mike. Meaning just you could tell it was a beautiful pass on the breakaway. I thought Bob could have done better, but it was a breakaway goal. And I thought the way they reacted, I was like, oh, that response is scary.
Yeah, I mean, the when you give up that first goal, it's a terrible feeling in that spot. And to be able to respond that soon and that emphatically, I was, as a Panthers backer, I was very worried right after that Edmonton goal, that response, because it felt like Edmonton was going to be able to garner some momentum from that and continue it and keep pushing. And what we had seen in those three previous games is Edmonton take the momentum and push and push and push. And Florida scoring that first goal in game seven kind of stopped that momentum that we had seen for three straight games. And it felt like the response from the Oilers was just going to regain that momentum and allow them to kind of start steamrolling forward. But Florida played well defensively off of that, didn't panic off of that one opportunity, and was able to kind of get into their game consistently. And we talked about this on Monday as well. We knew there weren't going to be as many penalties. There was only three penalties in this game. Edmonton only had one power play. That was a big part of this as well. We didn't see as much special teams from Edmonton, who was killing off every single penalty. I think it was like 48 for the last 49 they killed off in this playoffs. And they also had that dominant power play. The fact this game was played mainly 5-on-5 was an advantage to the Panthers.
Big guy was into it Monday night.
The confidence I felt when the first goal went in for Florida, we went completely further the other end when Edmonton answered. I was terrified at that point. I did not like it. I know I messed up the vibes in the group text, but it was very real. Edmonton was just so much more explosive on offense. They just couldn't get one past Bob when it mattered. I was very nervous for America, for the family, for everyone involved there. And I didn't even have skin in the game other than a money line bet on Florida in game seven.
Yep, but like, you were 100% right. They were fat, but then they got so tired. I want to ask you this. I love this question because it's just, as far as irreverence or just oddity, the Florida Panthers across the four majors, that's the weirdest franchise. They're 25 miles north of Miami, so they're not even in a big city. They're in the state of Florida and play on ice. It's a transient area. It's just nothing about it is it's all weird. Do you have a close second across the four majors?
They were actually the second weirdest. The weirdest, ooh, actually weirdest one is the Arizona Coyotes, who were playing in Phoenix, Arizona at Arizona State's rink and never could, they never got accepted there either. There was no chance you're ever going to make that happen. So Phoenix to me was the one that you guys didn't mention, and they're obviously moving to Utah now. So that didn't work out at all, obviously. But that was the other team that came to my mind, where a team that is in a city that just doesn't work. They can't get the stadium. They're playing literally in a college rink versus playing in an NHL stadium. They were the ones that jumped out to me that you guys didn't mention. But I thought the other calls were very good.
That's a good one. Let's squeeze in Aaron Halterman with his family vid. He did the work. So here we go. Family vid time with Racing Dudes, Aaron Halterman.
Going back to a baseball game today for Aaron Halterman with a Sharp Money Family Play.
Sharp Money Family Play.
What's up, Sharp Money? Back for a Wednesday here, and I'm going to go with the Arizona Diamondbacks plus 105 once again. That's right. I went to the Diamondbacks plus 105 yesterday. Wake up this morning, handicapping all the games, and here are the Diamondbacks at plus 105 again. So it's a lot of the same stuff I said yesterday. I'm not a hater of the Minnesota Twins. I'm just kind of a realist. I don't think they're great. I just think they're a decent team. And you got the Diamondbacks, who I think have underachieved. They're playing better right now. They've been better as of late, last 10 games. I think they're the better team. They're at home. The pitching matchup, pretty similar to last night. I don't see much of a difference. So if you're going to give me plus money on the Diamondbacks, I'm going to take it again. So Arizona Diamondbacks plus 105 for me. Another big game also for the Diamondbacks, because if they get a win here, they'll get to 40-40. Of course, you play 162 games. So then if they can get another win tomorrow, they'll be over 500 at the halfway mark, despite the fact, you know, I think all of us think they haven't really played that great so far. So I think even though they haven't, this is a big game. Get these two wins here. You can look back and say, hey, we're in a pretty good spot, even though we haven't played all that well so far. So end of this day, I'm going to go Arizona Diamondbacks plus 105 for my best bet of the day.
Aaron Halterman, plus money, Prince, RacingDudes.com. Tremendous job. He's going back to the snakes. Samich, before we go, details on the tournament again. So where can we find the information?
You can check it out over at Hawthorne.com. It's the Hawthorne Invitational coming up on Sunday from the Crestwood OTB in Chicago. You can watch it on Hawthorne's YouTube feed as well as Racing Dude's YouTube feed. Tournament starts around 3 o'clock Eastern.
Great. Thank you and good luck to you. Safe travels, big guy. I'm sorry, man. I don't know what to say.
Well,
I think you're great.
I don't know if I should tell you, but I just got a link with someone saying they could hook you up with what you need if we want to make it happen.
Ooh, be a good friend. Well, maybe I should quit. I don't know. I'll think about it. We'll see you tomorrow. Sharp Money.